You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hola, amigos. It is hour number two. Pelicans. We spoke with the voice of the Pels, Sean Kelly. This past hour, 10 straight wins. Are you feeling differently? Okay, how about this for a question of the day, Pepito? Are you more inclined right now, this very second, to go catch one of the final home games for the Pelicans? Because that's kind of seemed to be the, I guess, storyline really going into right now. Attendance. Will folks kind of come out and start to support the Pelicans with what they're doing? Fourth in the Western Conference, now a 3.5 game lead over eighth place, Los Angeles. Really nice. 21-14 away. You heard what Sean said there? The bottom of last hour? They've now assured themselves of a winning record on the road. No doubt that is pretty nice. We'll talk a little bit more about that win over the Kings here. Cody Worsham coming up next segment, 1:15. We just spoke with Todd Graffanini, Tulane Temple, 6 p.m. tonight in the American Athletic Conference Tournament. LSU will take on Mississippi State tonight. And another 6 p.m. game, SEC Network. Rematch of the game on Saturday and a rematch of last year's SEC tournament loss for the Tigers. We'll speak with Cody about that matchup coming up next. Also, bottom of the hour, I want to focus a little bit more on Darius Geis. It's something I started to talk about at the top of the show. And if you're just joining us or missed what it is that I'm talking about, it's a question I threw out there as well over on Twitter. And it had to do with Geis last night on Sirius XM NFL radio put out there that two teams asked him two interesting questions. And I say interesting in terms of I think it's ridiculous. But it's up there right now at ESPN Radio NOLA. Is the line of questioning that two NFL teams use with LSU's Darius Geis out of bounds or part of the information gathering process? So what he told everyone was that two teams asked him. One team asked him if he likes men. Another asked him if his mother is a prostitute. He said it was pretty crazy. The show is called Late Hits, by the way. Some people are really trying to get in your head and test your reaction. I go in one room and a team will ask me, do I like men? Just to see my reaction. I go in another room. Then they'll try to bring up one of my family members or something and tell me, hey, I heard your mom sells herself. How do you feel about that? Now, Geis did not name the NFL teams that were asking him the questions. Pro Football Talk, citing a source with knowledge of the situation, confirmed that Geis was in fact asked if he likes men. Now, this isn't the first time it's happened. In 2016, a Falcons assistant asked Eli Apple if he was gay during a meeting at a combine. Marquand Manuel of the Falcons, he had to later apologize, and Falcons head coach Dan Quinn said the organization took measures to make sure it would never happen again. The NFL itself then called the question disappointing and clearly inappropriate and said it would look into what happened. The league back in 2013 conducted an investigation after three draft prospects said they were asked a series of questions that touched on sexual orientation. As a matter of fact, it's with the Saints now. In 2010, then Dolphins GM Jeff Ireland had apologized to Des Bryant for asking during a pre-visit workout whether his mother was a prostitute. Again, I definitely sit there and think the NFL at times likes to take themselves slightly more serious than it really needs to be. Pepito, after all, it is a football game. And I get you're trying to evaluate the mental composition of an individual. How can they handle it? Like, there's a lot of jobs that you would apply for or interview that you have to answer a series of questions to try to determine if you can. Sales jobs, things of that nature. I get it. I understand that. I'm pretty darn sure, though, sexual orientation, and more importantly, if your mother's a prostitute, doesn't come up. I just have a hard time believing if I apply for Apple or some other top corporation, that's what they're asking me. I could be completely wrong. If you know of an instance that you've been asked inappropriate or troubling, put that out there at ESPN Radio NOLA, Jason, for me. I'd love to hear from y'all. Have y'all ever been asked an uncomfortable question in an interview? Because that's something that would stand out there. I don't think those two particular questions many of us have ever been asked. And then, how fair is it if you're judging their reaction? Like Darius says, because that's the only reason, like, you're trying to see how they react. Do they get angry? Does it bother them? All I know is from what I've seen from this guy at LSU, the guy's always smiling. There's YouTube videos of him, you know, doing wheelies on four-wheelers. You can Google his story. There was a really good story written on him about a year and a half ago, around December, about the rough upbringing he had. Seems like a pretty strong kid to get through it all. He's had a lot of help from people outside his family, coaches, friends, what have you. Seems to be a guy that perseveres. Seems to be a guy that takes every day and lives it. And enjoys it. I also seen 200 plus yard games. I've also seen him run over people. I've also seen him run away from people. I've also seen him play when he's injured. I'm good. Like, is it going to change your opinion if he is or isn't gay? Is it going to change your opinion if his mom was a prostitute or not? I just don't even understand the questioning. Again, I could be completely wrong on this. But if it's being passed as part of the information process, gathering process, I don't know. I think it's completely out of bounds. Iron Avengers chiming in, completely out of bounds. Besides, what does that subject have anything to do with playing professional football? That's what I'm getting at. I don't get it. EJ on Twitter thinks that type of questioning is ridiculous. The only thing I can think is that it is to see how a person would react. But even if that is, it's still ridiculous. Ryan on Twitter, it's also illegal. Again, it took me aback. Ben, 800-998-1003, would like to chime in. Ben, what you got, buddy?
I think it's an inappropriate question regardless. But it depends on the context of how they're asking it. If they're asking it as part of the information gathering process, completely out of bounds. But if they're asking the question just to gauge his reaction, I wouldn't say it's completely out of bounds, because you want to know if the guy that you're hiring is going to unravel at the point of an inappropriate question, or if something in the media is said inappropriately about him. Look no further than Ryan Leaf. I mean, the dude was a head case, great on the field, but all the heckling and the fans and the media got to him, and he cracked. And he cracked bad. So it's out of bounds if you're just doing it just to gather information. It's not out of bounds to gauge a reaction. But if the team was just doing it to gauge a reaction, they should have said, hey, we were just doing that to gauge your reaction on how you would handle an uncomfortable situation. So it's about context is what I think.
Interesting you say that, because you prefaced it. Or I guess you could maybe use it as a preface by going, okay, Darius, now we're going to ask you a series of questions to sort of gauge how you can handle that. Sometimes things may happen that you're not expecting. So if you kind of let me know that, maybe, or do you think that even if you let me know that, you're kind of maybe helping the reaction that maybe you want to see?
Well, I wouldn't preface it. I would tell that to them after, because when a media person is going to ask you something uncomfortable in front of a live action audience or if they're going to say something about you, they're not going to tell you ahead of time that that's going to happen. They're just going to do it. So, you know, I think that they should have, you know, maybe after they asked them the serious questions, look, we were just doing those to gauge your reaction. It has no bearing on whether we're going to draft you or not. Thank you for answering those questions, you know?
Interesting. So afterwards, probably put some context to it. Have you ever been asked anything in an interview that you've kind of afterwards gone, I can't believe they asked me that?
Not really. I mean, I've worked for some great companies, and they've all been very professional. Most of the companies I've worked for have been Fortune 500 companies that have, you know, done things the right way. So right. I've never been asked anything uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, too, if I've ever had anything like that, because I probably would be taken aback a little bit. Now, Jason, when I asked you that earlier, you said you kind of chuckle, almost thinking that it wasn't a serious question if somebody said, hey, by the way, is your mother a prostitute?
Yeah, I'd almost take it as a joke, like kind of off guard. Right. You know what I mean? But no, you just don't ask that. Right. And I've never been asked anything like that.
How personally. Would you act, honestly? I mean, I don't know how I would. I'd probably be like, okay, I think the interview's done here. That's probably how I would act. How would you act if you were asked that?
Well, if they would ask me that, I'd be like, well, you know, if you want to know an answer, the answer is no. But the fact that you are asking that is completely inappropriate, and I'm going to end this interview right now. That's how
exactly.
I would handle it. So
yeah, and that's what I mean. It's, you know, I totally see your point, and thanks for giving us a buzz, man. I appreciate it because context matters. And I definitely think a lot of these questions has been asked a lot. Again, you know, Mike Golic was talking about this over the last 2 days, that whether it's the fruit question or it's an apple, if you're in a tree, what kind of, you know, plant would you be, or tree in a forest and all this. And I get all of that. I mean, there's a lot of, huh?
Well, also, why does that matter? Those questions.
I guess it's
low-hanging fruit
again,
kind of.
Well, no, I guess psychology people tend to believe that the answer to what you would be kind of tells us who you are.
You'd be a lemon.
Why would I be a lemon?
You know the old adage, right? Yeah. Sometimes you buy a car and it's a lemon.
You think I'm a lemon.
You're a lemon.
Of all the fruits in the world, I'm a lemon.
Rotten lemon.
Oh, a rotten lemon.
Rotten lemon.
So not just a regular lemon, but a
really
lemon.
Acidic and starchy and sour.
I might
bitter.
Be afraid to ask this,
bitter.
But what are you?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, Gus, there's so many great fruits and vegetables out there. It could be a star fruit because I'm a star.
A star fruit.
How about that? A banana? Actually, plantain.
You can do a lot with a plantain.
Do a lot with a plantain.
You can do a lot with a plantain.
I'm a plantain, baby.
Okay, that's it. You did not have to do the hand gestures.
What? I'm a plantain.
Throw that up there, too. What kind of fruits are we?
Oh, we're not doing that. Come on.
I do want to know if you've been asked an uncomfortable question, though. I'm curious. Have you ever been asked an uncomfortable question in an interview? For one reason or another. Because that's probably how I would ask. I would answer that way. I'm like, okay, I think this interview is done. Because I've always felt an employee-employer relationship should be just that. It's a relationship. You got to spend time together. You have to trust one another.
It's not a personal relationship.
Well, I mean, for the employer to succeed, the employee has to succeed. You kind of have to work together, you know? And if you feel uncomfortable, it's going to be hard to do. Cajun Goat, before we go to the break, wants to chime in. What you got, bud?
Hey, Gus, this is my deal with this. This is football, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any problem with any question they ask these guys because of the simple fact is when they get on the field, how bad will the trash talking get? Do you think that the guy across from the other guy wouldn't say, hey, man, your mama's a prostitute? Or, hey, man, you might be a little funny under the junk? So, I mean, there's worse that goes on the field. I think everybody's being a baby about this, but I understand it's a job. It's supposedly a job interview, but
right.
on the field or on the basketball court, you've heard worse than what these guys are asking them in a meeting. I can understand where you say, well, we got to be kind of corporate about this and all that other
right.
stuff, but it is football, and you're probably going to get asked worse things on the field or told worse things on the field. And if you can't handle it, you're going to punch a guy in the head and you're going to get a 15-yard penalty either which way. But just a different take at looking at it. But it is all stupid to begin with. But, hey.
Thanks, Cajun Goat. Appreciate it. See, as we go to break, I think about it from like this. I mean, message boards, tweets, believe me, we get them every day. You should be fired, you stink. You know, I mean, believe me, we get them. I've never been asked, how many stations have we worked for? The show's been on three.
A lot.
I started in 99. I mean, I guess by that philosophy, maybe when I get interviewed, it should be, all right, hey, thanks for coming in. You're an idiot. And you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I can't wait to be your boss I can ask you things like that.
That's what I'm saying, because I guess to see how I would handle it.
How would you handle it? What if I asked you those questions?
I'd probably poke in the eye with a pen.
Oh, it'd be hilarious.
Plead the fifth. I just think there's a lot of different ways to go in it to see how people react. You know? And again, I kind of just look also at just your body of work. Anyway, Cody Worsham's coming up next. We'll continue this debate and this discussion at the bottom of the hour if you'd like to call in. Thanks for the phone calls, 800-998-1003. You can also chime in on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA. Tigers and Bulldogs in the SEC basketball tournament coming up at 6 o'clock. The preview next on ESPN New Orleans. Or at ESPN Radio NOLA. The ways you can be a part of the show up next. It's time to preview the SEC tournament game between LSU and Mississippi State. Cody Worsham of Tiger Rag joins us at Cody Worsham. It's the way to follow on Twitter. You can go to TigerRag.com or you can go online and follow them on Twitter at Tiger_Rag. Cody, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well, man. Just before you came on, we were talking about, so we're a little bit into your segment here, about the Darius Geis story of him coming out last night saying two teams asked him, A, is he like men, B, is his mother a prostitute, and took a couple of phone calls now, and some folks kind of thought whether it was appropriate or not. When you saw that story this morning or late last night, what were your first initial reactions or thoughts on it?
You know, I wasn't too surprised. I mean, you hear about the weird questions every year right. That these guys get, and they're clearly trying to – it's more of a psychological test that they're putting these guys through. I mean, I think it's silly. I don't think you can find out if a guy is going to be a good NFL player based on how he answers those two questions. So I think it's kind of pointless. I think it's one of those things that, you know, you see these sports franchises are always trying to get a little bit ahead and try to get an edge and try to do something different. But this is, to me, taking it to a kind of a weird extreme. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how Darius answered those questions. I haven't seen how he mentioned he may have responded. But, you know, I don't know how the NFL can legislate against something like that. Mm-hmm. Probably can ask any kind of question you want to. So it's one of those situations where guys, you know, they know what they're getting into and they're getting asked these questions. And hopefully their agents are preparing them for potentially weird questions like that.
All right, Cody, let's talk a little basketball. Obviously, this past weekend, regular season came to a conclusion when we last chatted with you. You thought that the game, the middle of the week is going to be tough, but the weekend game could be another opportunity maybe for the Tigers to pick up a win. They did pick up a win. What did you think of that win, 78-57, back on Saturday?
Well, it was a good performance from LSU. I mean, Mississippi State has been a little up and down this year, but when they're clicking, they're a good team. But it's a good matchup for LSU. LSU really struggles with teams that have particularly dominant players at the four. It's a weak spot for LSU defensively. They struggle to guard that spot. Mississippi State doesn't have that. Mississippi State is much more backcourt oriented. And while Lamar Peters and Nick Weatherspoon and Quindary Weatherspoon are good players, they're pretty good matchups for LSU. Tremont Waters, to me, is on a different level than Lamar Peters, who can be a good player, but just not up to Waters potential. And Skylar Mays and Brandon Sampson in particular had a good game, and so when Sampson plays it at the level that he's capable of, it makes LSU a completely different team. So, you know, I thought it was a good performance from LSU. I think it's a good matchup for LSU. I know that Will Wade talked about not necessarily finding it to be the best situation that they have to play Mississippi State back-to-back, but I think it's a pretty good matchup for LSU in the game. But they can win, and it's a winnable first-round game, or I guess second-round game here at the SEC tournament.
Cody, when you take a look at the regular season, and obviously I'm going to finish by asking you, what do you think they still need to do maybe to get in IT or things of that nature? And we saw what last week Will Wade kind of touching on, hey, the NIT would be very happy to play over there. But how would you, I guess, at the end of this, are you going to look back at the regular season? How would you sort of write the lead to your story and sort of encapsulate what you saw in Will Wade's first regular season?
I saw a complete transformation of a program that was about as low as it possibly could be a year ago. I mean, last year was just awful to cover. It was awful for fans to watch. It was awful for the players to go through. I mean, what do you ask a kid when they've lost 15 games in a row? Like, what kind of question do you ask them? What kind of answer can they give that they haven't given in the previous 15 media sessions? So it was rough to cover. It was sure rough for the players to go through, and fans probably didn't have much fun watching it. But now you look at this year, and there's been some fun games. There's been some fun moments. You've got a team that plays hard. You got a team that's pretty smart. A roster that's not perfect by any means and will get better next season. But, I mean, to me it feels like the first step forward in trying to get LSU basketball to some national prominence, where it's been before and been there pretty inconsistently for the last 25 years. And it's been tough for them to stay in that spot. But, you know, I think to get back there, you have to have a year like this where you're picked to finish last and you win eight games.
Right.
And you quadruple your SEC wins from a year ago. So I think it's a great first step for LSU and a good launching point.
Along those lines, you talk about launching point. Would you agree? There's excitement, right? There's a little more hope. There's a lot. You saw some really nice crowds this year. You saw some nice games over at the PMAC, and they end the regular season with what, six straight at home?
Yeah, they cleaned up at home toward the end, which is good. I mean, I don't know if there's an LSU basketball fan out there that has a bad thing to say about Will Wade at the moment, which was not the case a year ago with Johnny Jones. I don't know that anyone had anything good to say about Johnny Jones a year ago.
That's my point that I'm trying to get at. Is with all of that, Will Wade last week kind of touching on probably the right time to sort of strike. But he was kind of mentioning, hey, the feasibility study on the PMAC kind of taking place right now at LSU on whether or not you should kind of you know, give it a little facelift or so, or maybe do something completely different. How do you feel about that? Because I've been the last 2 years saying it's something that's got to happen at some point in time. You just look around the SEC and see the facilities there. You've seen the facility upgrades when it comes to baseball, and really the box being one of the last ones in some of the teams in conference play to do. And look, having called games there personally, from the locker rooms to where the media room is to where the concession stands is to the small bathroom, I mean, it's outdated and it's antiquated. I mean, that's just reality. And part of the game-going experience and ability to make more money, suites, special seating areas, things like that, it's just not the type of building. Now, do you keep the shell? Do you redo the inside and gut it, which a lot of the buildings are doing? Cincinnati, Houston, keeping the shell, but basically new buildings. I don't know, but what's your feeling on this? And I thought Will Wade did it right. You know, come out. I'm the head coach. We're saying it. We need this. What do you think? How's it being received up there?
Yeah, you know, this has been something that's been in the works since Wade was hired last year. I know that Eddie Nunez, before he left for New Mexico, had kind of traveled to four or five different campuses and looked at their arenas and looked in particular at arenas that had been older facilities that were remade. So I know one of the ones that they took a hard look at was Florida's arena and some of the things they did there to modernize it, take out some seating and put in some club seating. I think those would all be good steps for LSU. I'll say this. If you want to keep Will Wade, if you're Joe Oliva, you're the LSU Board of Supervisors, you're the athletic department, if you want to keep Will Wade at LSU, you better give him what he wants. You better go make the PMAC better. You better build him a new facility if that's what he needs. You better get him an office in the LSU basketball practice facility, which he does not have right now. You better get a weight room over there. Like, you got some work to do if you want to keep this coach, because if he has the kind of season next year that people expect, or certainly if he squeezes as much juice out of next year's talent as he's done this year, I mean, there's going to be some people knocking on his door and throwing some money at him. And if he doesn't feel like he's got the backing of the administration and of the athletic department and of the boosters, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes. I mean, I wouldn't blame him if he went. He's a competitive son of a gun. He wants to win basketball games. And in order to do that, I said this last year when Johnny Jones was at LSU, the most successful basketball programs, whether they're college programs or NBA franchises, they have unity from the top down. And I don't mean from the coach through the players. I mean from, in the NBA, the owner all the way down to the lowest guy on the bench. I mean in college, from the president of the university to the board of supervisors to the athletic director to the head coach, all the way down to the last walk-on on the bench. They all have to be on the same page and pulling in the same direction. And if they're not, then you're in trouble. And so I think they have started that process with Will Wade simply by, you know, paying him the money they're paying him, investing in the programs. I'm here in St. Louis right now. Just a small example. Last year they sent three managers to the SEC tournament. This year they've doubled that. They've got six. So that's just a small example of, yeah, it's going to cost you a little bit more to do some stuff. But if you want to keep the coach, if you want to actually make the program successful, that's the stuff you got to do.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's what you got to do in your conference. And if you want to win, I mean, that's, you have to invest in it for it to happen. Cody, will wrap up with tonight's game. Mississippi State LSU last year, 79-52 in the SEC tournament. Again, two different years, two different seasons and stuff. Do you think the Tigers can win tonight?
Yeah, I do. I think this is a good matchup for them. I think Mississippi State has looked pretty dejected in their last couple of games. They got blown out by a good Tennessee team and got blown out by LSU. And just their body language was so poor in that LSU game. I don't know. That was a bubble team. That's a team that if they would have won at LSU might be among the first four in right now. And instead, they're kind of a fringe, you know, kind of the same spot as LSU. They're going to have to make the conference tournament finals if they want to have a shot at the NCAA tournament. So that said, they looked very, very ill-motivated when they played LSU at home. And if they don't turn that around, I think it's a good matchup for LSU. Tigers are going to have to make shots. Tremont Waters is going to have to play well. We'll see how he adjusts with the face mask and the broken nose and if that's going to hamper him at all. But I think LSU can win this game. I'd say it's probably close to a coin flip, but I'll give LSU, you know, maybe a 55% chance to win over State's 45. I feel like it's a good matchup for LSU. I feel like they're in a good spot. They played well against the Bulldogs, and it feels like the kind of game that is winnable for LSU and gets you into that second game against Tennessee.
At Cody Worsham's the way to follow over on Twitter. At Tiger_Rags, the way to follow Tiger Rag on Twitter. And you can go online, TigerRag.com. Cody, thanks so much, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
Will do.
Take a quick break. We come back, Pepito. I'm telling you, facilities, man, it matters. That's the one thing that stood out to me. Can you believe he doesn't have an office in the basketball facility? Will Wade.
Wow.
Did you not pay attention to that?
No, I'm working, Gus.
Okay. Weight room? You gotta have a weight room. Over in the back. Look, the Hurt Center is a solid place.
Should have one here.
Tulane. You got the weight room. A door between the weight room and the practice courts. The coach's office are upstairs. I mean, that just makes sense. Tulane has that. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm just saying you have to have that. I mean, that's... Again, I just...
We have room for an elliptical right here.
Is that what we're doing? Mm-hmm. I would love, actually, some gear in here. It'd be great. Why are you laughing? What? I do work out.
I know. That's the funny part.
You know what? You're a joke.
I'm a broadcast journalist. Show me some respect.
Coming up, I've not forgotten about the WrestleMania tickets. 10 qualifiers overall between now and the 20th. We had one yesterday. It was Chad. Rusty had the first attempt. And he, like in the Royal Rumble, got knocked out first. Chad, however, won. Today, next hour, top of the hour, we will give away the next qualifier. Now, this is for a pair of WrestleMania tickets, two pairs of WrestleMania tickets. So we're going to have two winners out of the 10 that we select. That's just for the premium WrestleMania tickets. And then when these remotes from the walk-ons bracket challenge we keep telling you about, guess what? We'll have access and SmackDown tickets.
How about
at those
that?
Remotes. So you definitely want to come hang out with that. ESPN's bracket challenge, just go to ESPN1003.com. Go online, click it. Selection Sunday is Sunday. It's absolutely free. First place, walk-ons for a year, and a free TV. Brand new. I have to say brand new. I guess, do I have to say brand new? I mean, you would think it'd be
You shouldn't
new
have
TV.
To by this
yeah,
point.
I know, but it's...
It's like people saying the World Wide Web. You don't have to do that anymore. You know, this isn't 1998.
What did I call it? Live Action Band?
Live Action Band. It's a concert.
It's called a concert.
So much verbiage out of that, man. It's called a concert.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Anyway, Sports Hangover continue. Welcome back, Sports Hangover. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio. Now we'll take a look at some of the tweets that you guys have had. You always have to pause for a quick second when someone uses an Eddie Murphy GIF.
Yeah, be careful.
Just got to be careful.
Be careful.
I love his Twitter handle. Chi-Chi Get the Yayo 83. On whether or not the questions to Darius Geis is inbounds or out of bounds. I get 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in on this. And if you missed it, you don't know what I'm talking about. Darius Geis on Sirius XM NFL radio last night said one team asked him if he likes men. Another team asked him if his mother was a prostitute.
Very important questions, right?
Chi-Chi Get the Yayo 83. What are you laughing at? That's his name.
It's just funny hearing you say it.
Well, you say it.
No, I don't need to. You just said it.
I did.
You already addressed him.
Chi-Chi Got the Yayo.
Right. Well, what does his tweet say?
It depends on what the team is asking. And then he says, Cleveland Browns, are you gay? We may not want to draft you. And then him, and that's the Eddie Murphy role. Where it's the Joey, I don't know if you see the GIF. I'll retweet it. Don't you take it as Eddie Murphy kind of wondering, should I answer yes or should I answer no? That's kind of how I take that GIF, don't you? Eddie Murphy's sort of going, well, if it means that you won't draft me, then, yes.
Answer properly.
I am very gay.
To get that money.
Yes, No.
Oh, for the opposite.
Yes, to get out of
Cleveland. Yeah, to get out.
Yes. Again, we said the West Bank who dat said it's completely ridiculous. Plus, he said if he was Geis, he would ask if I look like I do, as in like men, and ask why are you judging and if it matters. It's completely out of line. Again, a lot of people have brought up the legality issue, if it's legal or not. 800-998-1003. And again, as I've mentioned before, I completely understand the, I guess, trying to see how you would react, trying to see if it bothers you. I just think there's different ways to do that. And I understand, pro football, Sundays, or obviously Mondays and Thursdays. Different world that they live in than we do. The pressure, the money, the fame, the notoriety. And then the other side of the leaf, right? The hatred, the dislike. I mean, we wouldn't have people wanting to put people on the bus if you don't exactly play poorly, Jason, if that makes any sense to you. So you do see that. But not the first silly question, and obviously not the last. But we threw that out there. Have you ever been asked anything that's made you feel uncomfortable in an interview? I'd love to know that. I don't think I've ever been asked anything along those lines. Jason, you said you couldn't have either, right?
No, nothing, no.
Nothing around there?
Nothing
you
that
go,
ever stuck out.
I guess
or...
what I'm talking about is, have you been asking a question where you felt uncomfortable to end an interview? Because
we had a caller that said
he probably would have ended the interview. Like, that's how I would be. Somebody asked me something like that, and I got uncomfortable like that. I'm like,
but I think
maybe that's not where I need to be.
If I was asked that, I'd probably want to, like, why are you asking me that? Like, I don't want to know more. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would question them as to why they're asking.
Well, that was
that
one of the last
of
callers. He said it was context. Like right after that, you tell the person, "Look, we did this for this reason."
Yeah. Why is this important that you need to know this information?
Right.
But no, I've never nothing even close.
It'll be interesting to see this this continued reaction, because a lot of people in the national media have really, really come out against what this has sort of been. And again, it's a pretty big national headline. As to where it goes from there, I don't know. We'll see. 800-998-1003. Some of the other NFL stories that we've been following here as well. Baker Mayfield apparently is going to have a private workout with your New Orleans Saints. He's not alone. Miami, the Jets, and Joey, the Cleveland Browns will have private Norman workouts. But the Cleveland Browns, Giants, and Jets will also fly in Baker Mayfield for their own private workout at their facilities. So Cleveland's considering, Joey. I'm telling you, like, I'm taking Saquon Barkley one overall or the best defensive player, and then at four, whatever quarterback's left, I take. That's what I do. I mean, have you seen some of the remarks coming out of the combine, Joey, based on Barkley?
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're saying he's got a little Peyton, a little Sanders, a little Sayers, a little Bo Jackson.
Whoa. What you singing, Mama
no.
Number 9?
I'm saying basically like, a Frankenstein of like six or seven different top running backs ever to have run the football in the NFL. And all I'm saying is if he's that good, he's my number one pick. And then I just worry about quarterback later. Cause look, I'll tell you what, did we not see, and I kept saying this to Tim Haney and even when we talked about fantasy football last year, if we were seeing a resurgence in running backs, I mean, I could make the case and argument that running back's kind of making a comeback in the NFL, isn't it? For a while there, it was receiver. It's always been quarterback. But what I'm getting at is tight end, right? Tight end was real sexy. Everyone had to have a pass-catching tight end and all that. But really, you almost seen kind of a resurgence of running back and really a dual-threat running back more than anything else that you sort of see. That you have a situation where you have pass catching. I mean, look at what Kamara's impact was on this offense last year. Right? Brian wants to chime in. Thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got, man?
I called the Sports Hangover often, man. What are you talking about?
Oh, I didn't know it was Brian. What's up, Brian?
Not a first time, long time over here, man. I'm a long time.
Okay.
Calling in to talk about the question of the day, man, which is the Darius Geis issue. Too many people are trying to use this as a context issue. It's not a context issue. It's an ego issue with the NFL. They believe they can say and do whatever they want, and these type of questions have always gone on, and nobody's been around to stop them. If Roger Goodell can find a guy for wearing black socks with a blue uniform, he should be able to find teams for asking these ridiculous questions that have nothing to do with football.
Like I said, I had trouble with it, and I text you immediately when this came out last night that I thought it was a little out of bounds. I mean, again, if you're trying to figure out and see whether or not somebody can run a football or not, I don't know why this matters. And I think a lot of it too, Brian, you just take a look at the past context. I mean, this kid's always smiling, always seems to have a good attitude. There's YouTube videos of him doing things off the football field that you would go, what are you doing? Think of your NFL career, doing wheelies on four-wheelers and things like that. We can get hurt. He's not even thinking like that. He's just, I don't know. I guess if you can try to get me to understand about context, I think it's out of bounds.
There's no such thing as context in this issue because NFL GMs, scouts, and executives are smart enough to be able to ask other questions if you want to know what's the makeup of a guy in the side of his mind. There's a lot of other questions you could have asked, and when people say, well, maybe they're just trying to get a reaction out of you, there's a bunch of questions you can ask to get a reaction out of me, especially if you're going to say, well, I heard the Cajun Goat call early, and he mentioned how there are guys that, they're going to do a lot of trash talking on the field. I expect that on the football field. I don't expect to go into a job interview when I'm basically, you know, my life's work is on the line and I'm trying to get on with this NFL team, and you ask me that type of question. I don't see the correlation there. There's no such thing as, you know, you're just trying to get under my skin and see how I'm going to handle it on the field. On the field, I can run over the guy that's asking me that. I can shoot him. I can make him look like an idiot. When I'm in an interview with an executive, what are my options? Do I walk out of the interview and then I'm labeled as a guy that couldn't handle it?
Good point.
What happens to me if I don't answer it properly? Nah, the NFL is getting way out of line with these questions. And by the way, I just want to add some real context to the Jeff Ireland situation when he was in Miami. Dez Bryant made the comment that his dad was a pimp and his mom worked for his dad. So Jeff Ireland asks, so does that mean your mom is a prostitute? Because you were telling me your dad's a pimp and your mom works for her. And that is the context of that conversation. Well, it basically got Jeff Ireland canned in Miami. Does anybody really want to have that happen? I think if the players start out in these teams, we'll see less questions like this.
Look, man, I'm with you, Brian. I mean, that's the one thing I was texting back and forth yesterday. Thank you for the phone call, man. We'll chat tomorrow. I'm like, you know, you think of that situation of that kid that's sitting in the room. I mean, your dream of playing in the NFL weighs in the balance. If you do react negatively, they can spread that. The next thing you know, you're dropping during a draft. Back to what you said, and I keep using your reaction because I kind of think it would be probably the one that Geist kind of gave. Just the chuckle and, wait, huh? You kind of sit like you
play it off with humor. Have fun with it.
But I mean, it would almost be, I guess, to me, like an uncomfortable sort of thing. Like, I would probably just be like, huh? Okay, yeah, my mom's a prostitute. Huh?
Yeah. What? That's effed up. Why are you asking me that?
Yeah, man? I just wouldn't. That's such just a odd question to ask.
You asked the question back, was your mom a prostitute?
Okay, but again, you just gave me sass. You gave me an attitude.
Oh,
okay,
of course.
That'll be enough. That'll be enough, Mr. Trostler. Next.
All right, later.
And next thing you know, you're now an undrafted rookie free agent.
Yeah, well, I don't want to work there anyway if I'm being questioned like that.
But you do. You want to work in the NFL.
You don't know that's the problem. You don't know where I want to work.
Okay, we're not you know what? Go to break. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. 49ers and wide receiver Marquise Goodwin agree on a 3-year extension worth $20.3 million. $10 million in guaranteed money. Again, getting closer and closer, Mr. Pepito, to the start of NFL free agency. Do we have a Drew Brees update? What is the official Drew Brees update music, by the way?
Hold on, let me look here.
Mm-hmm.
Not right now.
There you go.
Really?
I'm sure somebody has an update.
Not right. That's
no.
Your
I'm sure
update?
Someone on Twitter, some writer, has to make something up.
Well, no, I mean,
I don't know. Is Drew Brees going to the Jets?
Well, we always like to have certain, you know, updates on what he has to do. I mean, we updated he was at Park City, Utah. Right. I do have a Drew Brees update.
I'm ready for it.
Are you?
Primed.
I need some Drew Brees update music. While you look that up.
Yeah, while you're
reading Drew Brees
it.
Update. As the Drew Brees new contract watch continues. This was posted yesterday, 20 hours ago, as a matter of fact. Pepito on Instagram. Are you ready? The Drew Brees update.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
He is actually making it tougher.
Now, do you know what this is? As you can see, Drew Brees is at a gym. And there's his daughter hanging on the cables.
That's real safe.
And he's focused. He's still doing his exercises here. It's using cables to stretch.
He's getting ready because he's going to be playing for the Dolphins the Jets and the Jaguars.
But there's his daughter, and she's just hanging going for a ride.
Writers are going to name Drew Brees with every other NFL team but the Saints just to make a headline.
Though, no surprise that Drew Brees has the kind of concentration he does.
Of course.
Look, I mean, you can clearly see this is what helps him when a linebacker, defensive end, corner, safety, right? is coming his way and he's focused. He's still going through the reps while his daughter is hanging from the said stretchy cable. Pretty important. And then she continues to hang from the stretchy cable while he's getting his workout in.
Yeah, wow.
There you go.
Look at you. Oh.
So Drew Brees able to continue his workouts while he has a daughter doing that. So there he is. That is the Drew Brees update. He's working out.
I really don't even know how to respond.
At a gym. I keep focusing on the two people behind them in the gym too. I wonder if they know it's Drew Brees.
If they don't know if that's Drew Brees, then come on.
I don't know. You know, she's kind of seems to just be going about her business doing the.
Yeah, because she probably sees him every day there. Just Drew.
What would you do if you saw Drew working out?
I did see him in Audubon Park once.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just Drew Brees. What's up?
Just say hey?
Yeah, just give him what's up, the peace, as I was walking by.
Give him the deuce?
Yeah, hit him and the kids out there.
Okay.
The lady, Brittany, was there.
Right.
They were hanging out.
Got another update for you as well. One day ago, he was at a shoveling groundbreaking ceremony. Drew Brees, groundbreaking today for our first Dallas area walk-ons in Los Colinas. Love that his home state of Texas is getting another walk-ons. Where are we going next? Hashtag 18 and 18. He's a busy guy right now.
Let's put all this news out on Twitter, man. This is headlines right here. Huge news.
We did promise that we would keep you up to the minute, up to date, as to what's going on, the very latest in Drew Brees. The contract negotiations are, down to a couple days.